to week 3 of the Montana Mint Sports Podcast. We'll go over our first and 10 and give out our Big Sky crowns for week 2. We'll talk about Montana State's dud against South Dakota State in their upcoming game against Wagner. We'll talk about Montana visiting Western Illinois. Montana Parlay is back with his gambling picks. We end the show going around the Big Sky with our must-watch games of the week. Let's go. Welcome back. It's week 3 of the Montana Mint Sports Podcast. I'm Hot Take Nate. I'm here with Bear Tycoon.
Nate, what a great day to be here. Grizz victory. Everybody's happy.
Most people are happy. Most people that are Grizz fans are happy. Montana State, not so much. But we're happy to be here. Week 3, new week, new us. Thank you to Laney Lou and the Bird Dogs, first off and foremost, for playing us in as usual. They also play us out, but that'll be coming a little bit later. So thank you to them for letting us use their music and being such an awesome stomp grass band. But enough about music. Let's just get right into our first and 10. I'm going to let you go first this week.
Ooh, well, I'm going to let you go first for a variety of reasons. I'll set it up. We have producer Gary is standing in the corner of the room. The flag system from last week didn't work, so he's got two different flashlights lined up to let us know when we've hit 1 minute, but Nate and I are going to go through our top 10 stories of the week. We each take five, our top five favorite stories from the week in the Big Sky Conference. We'll go 1 minute apiece. All right, Jerry, we're good to go. He's signaling you, Nate, so whenever you go, the timer will start.
Okay, it's starting now then. Okay, so my first one, I think it's the one that's going to be, it was basically on every Montana State fan's mind after that debacle of the game last week, but Montana State's offense against South Dakota State. In the first half, Montana State, 44 yards, one first down, eight possessions, seven three and outs, and one interception. Is that bad?
It's not good.
It's not good
that
at
is,
all.
That is real bad.
It was real bad. It was one of the more frustrating games I've ever watched. So, end of the game, Montana State, Rovig ends with 13 out of 25 for 164 yards, a touchdown, two interceptions. He did not look comfortable, really, at any point in the first half. And even in the second half, when people said that he was kind of hitting his stride, I still didn't think he looked very comfortable. So, a little nervous about our backup quarterback, who he did not look like an FCS quarterback. Maybe he could have played in the NAIA or something like that, but did not look like a FCS quarterback. Also of note, Montana State, 29 carries. I'm sorry, it's worse than that. 33 carries for 29 yards on the ground. So this broke Montana State's 42 consecutive game streak of 100-plus rushing yards.
You weren't even close.
So. Not even close. No, it more than broke it. It absolutely demolished and shattered the streak. So my first one was the Cats offense. It was so frustrating to watch. I almost turned the game off again at halftime for the second week in a row. It's not a very good sign. So hopefully they get back on track this week, but I just had to talk about that miserable showing for the from Montana State.
It's really a roller coaster watching you watch the Bobcats and follow them throughout the year, because you go from such highs of we're competing for a playoff spot, like this is going to be our year, to rock bottom. But that offense was something real bad. My first story of the week, number two on the list, little conspiracy theory here with Jeff Choate. So thank God everything, he's okay. He is, most people know, he had a surgery Sunday after the game. I heard him give a little interview about it on his press conference earlier today. He said, I started feeling sick around halftime. After the game, it got really bad. Jeff Choate is a well-read coach. He knows the business. And I think he might be taking a page out of Coach K's playbook, where when things start going bad, he starts to get an injury. He needs to pull himself out. Cats were down 24-0 at halftime. Jeff Choate starts feeling bad. Real bad at halftime. After the game, things get worse. Jeff Choate, I'm watching you. Let's see what happens the next time the Bobcats go down big.
Yeah, it was. He came back and he canceled that press conference, the Monday press conference, and everybody thought it was, he's so immature, he's ducking the media. Then we find out it was an emergency appendectomy. Yeah,
very serious surgery.
And the funny part is, it's always funny when you see, when people tweet out or say something, and then when, you know, like if one of your coworkers is on vacation, you're like, man, you should take a lot of vacation, you should take a time off. And they're like, well, yeah, actually a family member died.
Yeah.
And then you feel so, so shitty. But it didn't seem like anybody felt shitty when they called Schoen out for being immature, and then all of a sudden he had an appendectomy. They're like, well, my comment still stands. but thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers.
So you actually stole one of my, I was going to go for number two. You actually stole one of my first and tens, was the Choate medical emergency. So I'm not even going to touch it, but I have a backup.
Okay, let's hear it.
So this is breaking news. Actually, it's not. But so with Hurricane, what is it?
Florence?
Floyd? Florence. Florence. Hurricane Florence. Hurricane Florence coming to the Carolinas this weekend. Coastal Carolina and Campbell actually played today.
Ooh.
Did you know that?
No.
Today is Wednesday, so we're recording this on Wednesday. Hurricane Florence is set to hit the Carolinas, I think, tomorrow night and into Friday, and then who knows how long. So a lot of sports are getting messed up. So Coastal Carolina actually traveled to Buies Creek, B-U-I-E-S, Buies Creek, North Carolina, to play Campbell. Coastal Carolina messed them up 58-21. As they should have. I believe Coastal Carolina moved up and is an FBS team now in the Sun Belt Conference. So a weird Wednesday game, and the official attendance on the website I'm looking at is zero. So,
oh man, so
pretty cool.
So they have something in common with Northern Colorado.
Exactly. So that would have been cool though. So this game was supposed to be played at Coastal Carolina, but they moved it to Campbell. Blah blah blah. Last year, Northern Colorado didn't get to play down in Gainesville because of one of the hurricanes that was hitting. How cool would that have been if Florida would have come up to, where the hell are that, Greeley, Colorado, to play that game?
Those players would have been so confused. The Gator so players confused. Would have been so confused about what was happening.
So, interesting little midweek.
Yeah, good tidbit. Good non-Big Sky tidbit. I like those.
Had to call an audible.
My number two, just a quick shout out of total domination. Eastern Washington's offense, they obviously had a big win this weekend over Northern Arizona. We highlighted that as possibly the game of the year in the Big Sky. Eastern won. That's great. More impressive than that is they are averaging 623 yards per game. Now, not only is that good, that is tops in the nation good. That is the most any FCS school, 125 some odd schools, has per game. And look, they started out with a cupcake with Central Washington, so they kind of ran up the yardage there, but they had 570 yards against Northern Arizona, who we all agree in the offices is one of the top, like probably top two teams in the Big Sky. So 570 against a very good team. Eastern Washington's offense is scary good.
It makes me, last week I talked about quarterback jealousy. It's now turned into just
jealousy.
Offense. Just offense jealousy. Yeah. Like I would just, man. Because I'm going to go right into this one so we don't waste time, because you messed all of my first and tens up by stealing them, kind of. But my next one was the NAU at, or the Eastern Washington.
Yeah, we'll get into it deeper. I'm just going to go into it. Yeah.
Well, their offense is amazing. And Gabrud went for 322 yards, four touchdowns. Interesting was Case Cookis came out late in the first quarter with what looked to be a shoulder injury. And so they had a backup, NAU had a backup quarterback, Daniel Bridge Gadd, hyphenated last name. Mm-hmm. Can never trust that.
Nope.
But the hyphenated last name came in. He's a drop down from UW in Washington and went for 231 yards and three touchdowns. And I'm sitting there watching that and I'm going, why can't we just have that guy start for us? Like, Choate probably knew him from Washington. How did he not get him to drop down to MSU?
Maybe he doesn't want to play for Choate.
Maybe Choate doesn't want him to play for him. Bad apple? I don't know. Anyway, really good backup quarterback. He led NAU back to within striking distance at 31-26. Crazy part, with 1:49 left, Iwu runs or gets a 94-yard run from their running back. Down to the NAU 1 yard line, and then they kneel out the game. So it was crazy. So it was like the slowest, longest 94-yard run I've ever seen. the dude was doing like the Tecmo thing where you kind of go up and down to get away from the defender that's coming to grab you. It was unbelievable. He gets tackled at the one. They don't score, blah, blah, blah. They still win by 5 points, and it was actually the longest non-scoring run in Eastern Washington history.
Wow. Good factor.
Yeah. Thank you. I did a lot of research this week. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, no, of course. Well,
thank you.
So kind of pivoting from how good Eastern's offense is, also leading the nation out of the Big Sky is Idaho State. Idaho State currently has the top-ranked defense in all of the FCS. I have a feeling this isn't going to last too long. Idaho State, as you know, played a cupcake. I think they played Western State out of Colorado in game one, and then they hilariously had their bye week in week two, so they didn't play anyone this week. But they currently
gotta get healthy going into week three.
Gotta get healthy to go lose the rest of their games. But their defense has only allowed 135 yards per game. It's nice to see a little defensive dominance out of the Big Sky, but Idaho State, I don't think this is going to last.
So one of your top tens was Idaho State holding Western State to under 200 yards?
Yeah. Oh, under 140 yards, if we're being fair.
Oh, under 140. Yeah, well, hey. That's impressive, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll see this week. So, yeah, interesting. Okay. I don't have much to say on that one. So one of my favorite things to do is troll Grizz fans, and here's my top 10 that includes the Grizz, or top 5 that includes the Grizz. So the Grizzlies on the road. They play their first road game of 2018 this weekend.
Yep.
At Western Illinois. So in 2016, the Grizz were 1-4 on the road.
Mm.
They lost to NAU, EWU, Northern Colorado, and Cal Poly. In 2017, they were 2-3 on the road with losses to Washington, which is a given. That's cool. Weber and MSU. So that gives me if I'm doing my math right, 3-7 in the last 2 years on the road.
Yep.
So interested to see if Hauk can work his magic for the Grizzlies and get them to perform on the road, considering Stitt could not do that. So I'm going to be watching this game very closely and hoping that nothing has changed.
Yeah. Look, Bobby Hauk said that good teams win on the road. This is a statement game for the Grizz. It's not a must-win game by any stretch, but coming out of non-conference play, it'd be real nice to be 3-0 with two nice wins of Northern Iowa and then this Western Illinois game on there. I'm going to be watching it with you, man. Like it's been a constant point of frustration. I'm still upset. I still am anxious about when they lost to Northern Colorado 2 years ago. That shouldn't happen.
That was awesome.
But this is a different era. So we got Western Illinois on the road this week. The Cats played them tough. Western Illinois came and they actually put up a pretty good showing against Illinois this weekend, but it's kind of deceiving. They lost 34-14, but they knocked Illinois starting quarterback out in the first or second quarter. So they kind of were playing against a banged-up Illinois team. So, they've played one cupcake and one FBS school, so it'll be interesting to see what Western Illinois can do. You didn't even react to me calling the Bobcats a cupcake. But my...
True.
My, looping
back... You lose to a cupcake, though. That's why maybe I didn't understand. So I'm glad you clarified that for all of our listeners out there.
Yeah. Very confusing.
I think it went over all of our heads, considering they won.
Mm-hmm. My next point, circling back.
That was like you talked so much during that point that people probably thought that that was your top five, but that was actually one of my first intents.
Yeah, I'm very sorry. All right, this one I'll be quick because I don't want to dwell on it too long. But I don't want to kick a guy while he's down. Jeff Choate, coming back to you. You know, you're sick. I want to say nice things about you. I had a whole thing written up about how bad Jeff Choate is as a coach, which I'll save for the next big Bobcat loss because I don't want to knock a guy who's sick. And coach, we really hope you feel better. But I have two things that I'd like to compliment you on. The first is that Jeff Choate, during his press conference today, made a big point about how the Big Sky Conference has too many teams. Which I thought was super interesting for a coach to say in the Big Sky. And look, I agree with you, coach. I think there are too many teams. The second thing, Nate, and I want you to sit down. Someone asked him who he's got money on in the Montana Western Illinois game. He smartly said, I'm not going to talk about wagering money, but I am going to be rooting for the Grizz. He only roots for the Big Sky team. So, Nate, you got a bunch of hate in your heart. Jeff Choate will be rooting for the Grizz this weekend. I think you should be too.
There's no chance in hell I will ever root for the Grizz. I want this loss to happen so badly this weekend that I'm keeping my ESPN Plus subscription, my trial. So I'm probably going to be paying the whole month just so I can see Western Illinois beat the Grizz.
Perfect.
It's going to break the bank. It's $4.99, but I'm going to do it just for this loss.
Love it, man.
Well, he's a bigger man than me in many ways.
Yes, in basically every way.
In basically every way. Except my appendix is bigger. I lost my train of thought. So my number five, my fifth one, my final one. Proud of you, UC Davis. So UC Davis joined the FCS in 2007 after a very dominant run in Division II. They joined the Big Sky in 2012. And in their first however many years that is, six years.
Yep.
They were a total of 21-46. So their best season was their second season in the conference in 2013 when they went 5-7. Last year they went 5-6, so their two best years were there. And this year, starting out 2-0, they beat a San Jose State FBS team, and then they brought on San Diego at home and knocked them off the field. San Diego was a playoff team last year and actually beat NAU in the first round. So they weren't like this pushover non-scholarship team. They are a non-scholarship team, but they weren't a pushover. So this got UC Davis into the top 25, FCS top 25, for the first time in their school's history. So they entered the polls at number 23. It's kind of cool to see some of these teams just kind of come out of nowhere. They're usually the laughing stock of the Big Sky, along with, you know, Sac State, Portland State, Idaho State, but to see it's kind of cool to see Davis come up and give the Big Sky another team to put in that top 25. They were picked ninth in both the coaches and the media poll, so it's pretty impressive what they've done in their first two games, and it'll be interesting to see if they can keep that going. But nice job, UC Davis.
Yeah, really nice job, UC Davis. And unless you're a Bobcat fan, I think most fans in the Big Sky root for the other team. So I was super excited to see UC Davis come away with the win. San Diego, as you know, they're always relevant, it seems. They're always kind of a playoff team or a fringe playoff team. So a nice win for UC Davis. My last one is sources are telling us. So a lot of people talk trash on the Montana Mint Sports Pod, especially the Neanderthals on eGrizz and similar forums. And we just kind of take it with a grain of salt. We're as pumped people are listening to us, even if they're complaining about what we're saying. But we were joking around on Twitter that somebody was, someone who will not be named, was trolling us from burner accounts, because a lot of the messaging in a lot of these complaints is kind of similar. And so we put it out there on Twitter as a joke, you know, oh, I think so-and-so has got some burner accounts. We got some information sent to us that is kind of confirming this joke suspicion that we had. So nothing to report, not naming any names, but we are circling potentially a very hilarious story. That is my last one. I think I went second, so that is our first 10.
Exactly at 10 minutes.
Nice. Good job, us.
We still haven't gone over yet.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Good job.
Good job, us. So we also now get into our second ever Big Sky Crowns of the Week, something new we started this season, where we each give a crown to our team of the week and our player of the week in the Big Sky. So I'm going to let, since you were so generous, so let me go in my first and 10 and then steal every one of mine. I'm going to give you the chance again to go first for the Big Sky Crown. So go first with your team.
Oh, sure. No, and I have a feeling, I think it'd be crazy if we didn't have the same ones. And I think it's okay if we're giving out two crowns, as I explained last week. But the crown of the week, obviously, to me, goes to Eastern Washington. They played in the game of the week. They, you know, UC Davis has a nice win over San Diego, but Eastern was playing a non-conference game against a very tough conference opponent in Northern Arizona, and they handled their business. It would have been nice to see what would have happened if Case Cookis could have stayed on the field and stayed healthy, but next man up, and that's how these things go. And they got the W, and that's what matters. So to me, there's no question the king of the week Crown of the Week is Eastern Washington.
See, I have to disagree with you there, and you actually made my argument for me. I did not pick Iwu because of an ailing Case Cookus.
Okay.
I wanted to see him in there. So I gave mine, like you said, to UC Davis. So UC Davis, the big win over San Diego, 54-21. Jake Mayermeyer hit 12 different receivers. That dude's a stud. That guy is ridiculous. So, and I also had the, like I said in my last first and 10, gives UC Davis the DAP for getting into that top 25. So they get my crown this week. Their first time ever in the FCS top 25 poll. A huge win over a playoff team. They get my crown this week.
Do they play? Oh, I'm looking up their schedule right now. Do they play Eastern this season? I got that.
I don't know.
Let's look up UC Davis' schedule. See if they have any exciting games coming up. So they play at Stanford this weekend. I have a feeling their win streak is going to come to an end.
Hey, they're 1-0 on the against the FBS this year.
That's true. They then play Idaho. That's a good game. UNC, Idaho State, Cal Poly. Then they play at Montana. That is a good game. Ooh, they play at Montana.
Look at this lineup. Look at that lineup in starting on October 27th.
At Montana, Northern Arizona at home, at Eastern Washington, and then Sac State.
In their rivalry game, the Causeway Classic. That's insane. They start out, and I was like, man, they got an easy-ass conference schedule. And then all of a sudden, it's like, never mind.
Yeah, we are going to...
That shit sucks.
So, I mean, I think the prevailing thought is that they're for real. That they the two wins that they've put up are quality. It's going to be really fun to watch them against kind of the top-tier Big Sky teams to see how they handle their business.
The cool part about that is... And we're kind of getting off on a little bit of a tangent here, but how cool is that? Like, they literally are going to control their own destiny. They can beat Idaho. They can obviously beat Northern Colorado and Idaho State and Cal Poly. Like, those games, I would pick UC Davis right now in every single one of them. So they're going to go into that Grizz game, like, what, 4-0 in conference?
Yeah.
And they can afford to lose one of those games in there and still easily still make the playoffs. That's it's like they just control their own destiny. That's awesome. That's gonna be a really fun thing to watch UC Davis in October.
Yep. No, that's great.
Very cool.
Yeah, they are super fun to watch. And I'm gonna give my crown to the player of the week, just because I think I'll be stealing it from you. But Jake Meyer, out of UC Davis.
Whoa.
I am super impressed. I kind of view the crown as something where it extends over from the beginning of the season till today, and he has been, in my opinion, the best player in the Big Sky Conference. He is number two in the country in passing offense and passing yards. And the thing, unlike Gage Gabrud is close behind, I think he's like six or seven in the country, but he had a cupcake game. Meyer has not had a cupcake game. He's had two very tough games, and he's number two in the country. So quarterback's the most important position. He appears to be the most important quarterback in the Big Sky Conference.
Yeah, I'm so jealous of UC Davis that they have him. But mine is actually you assumed too much this week because my player of the crown for the player of the week is not going to Jake Mayermeyer.
Okay.
Is actually going, and this hurts me, it pains me, but I have to give him props, is Dante Olsen of Montana. Yeah, 16 tackles, 2 sacks, like 3.5-4 tackles for loss.
Player
blew
of the
up
week.
That game. Yep. National player of the week. So I figured there's no way that you can't give your Big Sky crown to the player who was the best defensive player in the whole country last week.
Fair enough.
So that's why it hurt me to do it, but it was like too common sense for me not to give it to him.
Yep.
So I had to go with Dante Olsen. It was an insane week. So he's starting out the year really, really well. So those are our crowns of the week. It was a fun week of Big Sky football, but let's talk about the one that was not so fun, and that was Montana State, South Dakota State.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Yeah, it was fun. We talked about it briefly in our first and 10, but maybe one of the more frustrating Montana State games I've ever watched. For some reason, all day on Saturday, I was just jacked for this game. I was texting you guys. I was saying, let's go. I can't wait for this. Had some Tito's, had a couple microbrews I didn't have an infuser here, though. I didn't have the
smooth operator.
The smooth operator, shout out to the Finland, but I didn't have that. Yeah. So it was straight up microbrew. No fruit.
That was your first mistake.
Yeah. My second mistake was thinking that we had a chance in this game. So sitting down, start watching this game from the opening snap, I see Rovig at quarterback. I'm already confused, maybe a little bit buzzed, wondering what the hell's going on, looking at the depth chart. And then I see on the sideline Choi with like a 40-inch diameter cast on his hand.
Yeah. Credit.
First reported by Montana.
Credit to the Montana Mint. Yep.
Not one other place ever even reported that.
No. But now that they have reported it, they are not crediting the Montana Mint, despite the fact
that
we put this up 4 days before anyone else was talking about it.
Isn't it like Tuesday?
Yeah.
And so my theory is that everybody colluded to not report that so that they didn't have to make us look like a legit operation.
Yeah, totally.
Which we are 100% not a legit operation.
100% so not, but we did break that story. So
we did break the news. Yeah. So you still have to give us our due. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. He had a broken hand, didn't play. So Tucker Rovick comes out, looks insanely uncomfortable. Can't get any running game going. South Dakota State's just stacking the box, stopping every attempt at a rush Montana State could get. They go into halftime down, 24-0?
Yep.
And I did one of my halftime tweets again where I'm done, man. I'm done. So shout out to Pluto for having the NAU Eastern Washington game on. So I started watching that game. But then my heart always brings me back, man. Always brings me back. I start kind of glancing down at my computer where I had the Montana State game streaming on ESPN Plus, and I got back into it a little bit and saw some flashes of offense in the second half, but nothing to write home about. So I don't think we need to like hash out this game any more than what we have, but what a disappointing performance from the Cats coming off a very good win against Western Illinois. You kind of had the fans had the momentum, the Cats had the momentum, and all of a sudden they show up and just lay this egg in South Dakota, in where the hell, Vermilion or something, South Dakota?
Yeah.
At South Dakota State to a team named the Jackrabbits. So pretty depressing game all the way around. So I think that's all I really want to talk about when it comes to that game. Do you have any insight on this one?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing, I was sad that the Bobcats got beat so bad, but I did find it funny. The Big Sky Conference will send around stats and like kind of bullet points for people to focus on from game to game. And the nicest thing they could say about Tucker Rovick was he threw for 164 yards, 13th most by a Bobcat making his first start.
Well, there you go. Lucky number 13.
Lucky number 13. Awesome. Like, how many quarterbacks have made their first start against for the Bobcats? Like, it can't be that many.
Yeah, that's a 13. I love how they had to research that. Like, but South Dakota State's a good team. It's the number 3 team in the country, and I think I maybe lost sight of that a little bit. That, you know, we were going to play a top 5 team at their place with a linebacker and quarterback.
Yep.
So
that was a problem.
Maybe I went in there with my heart went in there with some loftier expectations than my head did. I think it was because of that win at Western Illinois. But a little tidbit about going out there. So Leon Costello, Montana State's athletic director, was the deputy athletic director at South Dakota State before he came to Montana State. And he was super he was a big player in getting the fundraising to get all of their facilities upgraded into what they have now, which on TV looked like a great facility, a nice stadium, huge scoreboard, all that good stuff. And so it was interesting. He actually, Wanded Cruzado, the president of MSU, was down there, and they were taking a tour and inviting any fans that wanted to come see it too, taking a tour of South Dakota State's facilities to see what Montana State could do with theirs. So maybe if anything came out of this game, it was some of our donors were out there and got to see the facilities that South Dakota State has, and hopefully Montana State will be able to get that fundraising now if some of those big wallets saw how cool it was out there in South Dakota State.
Sure.
How's that for a silver lining?
That is a silver lining. And you could also check out some of the really nice YouTube videos that we have of the facilities in Missoula. You could use that as some reference too of what a good FCS program should have in terms of facilities.
Oh, the Champion Center?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Champion Center. What a great name for something that hasn't been done in how many years?
If I remember correctly, the name of your mascot is Champ, despite the fact you haven't won a championship since the early to mid 80s. When did you guys win it?
Mid-80s, 84.
Cool. Anyways, I have nothing to add on that game. It was an ass-beating. It was a bummer.
It sucked.
It was a bummer. It was a bummer to see, but I was not nearly as surprised as you were by the outcome.
Yeah, and for the record, I did end up watching the whole game and always will, but you're right, it was a roller coaster. So sick of that game, want to put it behind us. Let's go to Wagner. So Montana State hosts Wagner this year. Where's Wagner from?
I actually don't
That's know. A question for you. I know. It's not really hypothetical because I do know the answer.
I know they're
I
the Seahawks. I don't know where
they are. They are. Staten Island, New York.
Okay, nice.
So a Northeast team in the Northeast Conference. Not a very great program. Not a lot of success really ever. Mm-hmm. They made the FCS playoffs though in 2012. That was their last time. Interestingly enough, they lost to Eastern Washington in the second round by 10. So okay. 2012 was the last time they made the FCS playoffs and the only time they've ever made the FCS playoffs. So Wagner's going to come to town from a small school, I guess, probably. Their stadium holds 4,000. So it should be a really fun game for them to come out and play in front of 17,000-18,000 at Montana State this weekend. But yeah, I don't know a ton about this team. Stats, the FCS kind of news source, has this as a potential trap game for Montana State, actually. Did you know that?
No. What do you know what the line is?
I don't know what the line is. I'm sure that Montana Parlay in our next segment will be letting us know. But basically what Stats is saying is that Wagner's senior running back is finished fifth in FCS in rushing yards per game last season, and he's fourth early on this season. So that's about all I know about Wagner. I'm not one to put in a lot of research on their players because I honestly don't really care about like who their impact player is. I do care who their impact player is, and I'm just going to use Stats saying that their running back is their impact player. Super lazy. It's not a conference game. They should win.
Look, if you don't win this game, even if Rovig's still playing at quarterback or whatever's happening at quarterback, this is a game you need to win if you're a good team or even like a decent team.
And we talked about that.
Wagner is ranked 226 in the Sagarin ratings, which
out of how many?
Out of 250.
Oh shit!
So they are not good.
We can't lose this game.
255, and teams above them include Portland State, who is ranked 211.
Who we play next week?
You play
after this?
Yeah, so you should come away with two wins there. But I mean, they're just this is a team you need to beat. I had a tough time getting up for the Drake game for the Grizz. When you're playing a team like this, I kind of take the week off.
We can't this week though. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like I'm so interested in this game to see what they do after coming off such an ass kicking against South Dakota State.
Yeah, I mean,
it's insane. I'm actually excited for this game, and I usually wouldn't be. You're right.
Good. Well, I'm not too excited. I will not be watching this game. It is being streamed on MSUBobcats.com.
For $10.
Jesus Christ.
It's awesome. So I paid $10 for that first game, and now it's $10 for this game. So I'm already $20 in, streaming off the shitty Bobcats website that's like, I can't remember the company because they're so shitty.
Okay, actually, hold on. I'm going to default. We can talk about the Grizz, but I would rather...
So pause it. Let's pause where we're at.
No, let's... And
let's talk about this.
Let's...
I think I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, but let's just... We're seeding the Grizz. Awesome. They won huge this weekend. That's great. Western Illinois, we already kind of talked about. All other discussion, we're going to let the guys at the Grizz Fan Podcast talk about. They're going to go more in depth. I have something more important to talk about, which is how in 2018 is it possible that it is so hard to stream Big Sky Conference games in one place? It is... Every Saturday, it is like a puzzle trying to figure out where these games are. Every other league, every other like shitty conference, the Ivy League, the other FCS conferences, you can stream these games on ESPN Plus, or you can get them from like a very easy to use package. Like we have Pluto, which is fine for a lot of the FCS games and Big Sky games, but not for Cat and Grizz fans. A lot of times their games are like preempted by some local contract. Can we just get our acts together? A Big Sky Conference, I'm willing to pay whatever it costs, or close to whatever it costs, to be able to get this to happen. Like, why aren't we on ESPN Plus? How much would you pay per year? How about this? I'm going to start, and you tell me if that's too much or you would pay.
Okay.
Would okay. you pay?
So this is to have. This is basically just if ESPN was like, "Hey, you, Big Sky Conference fan, I want you to buy a season package, and we'll give you a good quality stream of every single game."
Yeah. Okay. That is what this is what you'd get. Would you pay $50 a season?
Yes.
Would you pay $100 a season?
Yes.
$150.
Pushing it, but I could probably be talked into it.
Okay. $199.
No.
No. Okay. So like somewhere between 150 and 200.
Let's just say 125.
125.
I would say, I was good on 100. I was a little iffy on 150. So let's say like my sweet spot would be, I would have no buyer's remorse at 125.
But you've already, so it costs $10 to watch it on MSUBobcats.com.
Yeah. So I'm going to be down $20 by the end of this weekend.
Yeah. And the Bobcats, I mean, it's just, I don't get the reason for it. Like, we're supposed to be the top or one of the top FCS conferences. We have some of the most popular schools, biggest home games. Like, we obviously have fan bases that extend outside of the cities that we're playing in. Why in God's name can't we get this streaming?
And certainly, like, I remember how big of a deal Pluto was last year when we got it. We're like, holy cow, this is a godsend. Yeah. And it's like the shittiest quality, and you never really know what you're going to get.
But I love it. Was like, I still
you were able
it.
To watch. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I just watched Eastern Washington NAU last weekend just because I went onto my Pluto app and I had like five games to choose from. I was like, that's an awesome game. And I got to watch it. It was so cool. And it gets me more, familiar with the people on those two teams.
Yep.
The players, the players on those two teams. It was awesome. And so you're right. It's unbelievable that we don't have a better streaming option. We made fun of Idaho. They had a game. Their first game of the year was streamed just on Facebook. So solely on Facebook. And I was like, that's awesome. I would love to have that. Some people in Montana, man, were like, that's embarrassing. And so we had a little bit of an argument about that. Shit, I would love for Montana State just to stream their damn games on Facebook so I know I could go to one spot and get a free damn stream to watch the game.
And look,
I'm so sick of switching between Pluto and ESPN Plus, and sometimes it's on Root Sports where you have to get the DirecTV thing to stream it. Like, it's so frustrating.
And yeah, the thing with, and look, Big Sky Conference, we're willing to pay. There are people that are willing to pay money for this. But the thing with Idaho, I think both sides of that argument were actually right. It would be awesome if the games were on Facebook, but I was one of the people making fun of Idaho. If you're dropping down from FBS to FCS and then you find out that, like, this is a bad news, you're no longer in the top division, and also bad news, your game's not on TV, it's on Facebook with a bunch of people selling pyramid scheme merchandise. So that's kind of just like egg on the face, you're no longer on TV. But no, I completely agree. If these games were on Facebook or Twitter or wherever,
just let us watch it. Like, millennials,
why is it so hard?
Don't give a shit where they can find it. They don't care what medium's on. Just give it to them in a streaming format somewhere. And make it easy to get to where you don't have to sign up and give your credit card and do trials. Just give us one spot to go to. We'll watch those games there.
Yes.
That's it. Like, I want to be able to watch it when I'm on vacation. Say, I can't catch the game at my house. I don't have DirecTV. I want to be able to stream it when I'm at a restaurant, not paying attention to anybody else because I'm watching the Cats.
Yeah. Yeah, and look, it's like awesome to go to the games. Not everyone has the option to go to every game. And I think that the schools are hearing from their like quarterbacks club and their huge boosters who are all at every game, so this isn't a priority for them. There's a huge fan base that's willing to give you money if you just spend a week focused on this and getting us a contract with ESPN. Just
please.
For the love of God.
Please. So unpausing it back really quickly to the Montana State game against Wagner. So the depth chart did come out. They do have Troy Anderson / Tucker Rovig as the starting quarterbacks again. Choate in his press conference today did say that they're working to get Troy Anderson back into quarterback mode. So it does sound like Troy Anderson will be starting this week. Hopefully the Bobcats can get out to a big enough lead where they can like kind of take him out, rest him, and let Rovig come back in and get some reps. So it does sound like Anderson is back in the saddle, and I really hope so. But it'll be interesting to see kind of how the Montana State offense rolls this week after such an embarrassing way last week. So it'll be an interesting game. I'm looking forward to just to see how they respond, basically.
But, yeah, well, I think it's I don't think it's accurate to say a game against Wagner is going to be interesting, but
I can say that this game against Wagner is almost a must-win, though. I'm calling it. This is a must-win game.
Okay, it's Mark it down.
They were going to get through this, the first three games. If they got out of it 2-1, everybody was going to be pretty happy. This is the way to get through it 2-1, because you're probably going to go 3-1 if you win this game.
Yep.
So it's a must win. Count it. Must win.
Cool.
All right. So that is what we're looking at this week. We do have the University of Montana going to Western Illinois. This is a common opponent with the Montana State Bobcats. So it's going to be a really interesting game where we play a common opponent out of conference. How are you feeling this week about the Grizz chances?
I think that they are, I mean, I know that they are 5-point underdogs going on the road. I think that's pretty accurate. I think that they can win this game, but it's no guarantee. And, you know, I think that you look at your non-conference schedule as a whole, and win or lose, unless the Grizz get blown out, I'm going to be happy with how the non-conference schedule went for the Grizz. The win over Northern Iowa was great. It'll be kind of embarrassing to lose to Western Illinois after you guys beat them, but if it's a close game, I'm going to be happy. I don't know enough. I don't have a great enough feel for Western Illinois.
Do you know where they're located?
Nope. Illinois.
Macomb. Well, yeah. Macomb, Illinois. MACOMB.
What's your feel on this game? I mean, you watched Western Illinois more closely than I did.
I think the Grizz have a better chance than a lot of Grizz fans are thinking they do. Montana State was able to get to their quarterback and really limit what he could do. He's a big boy. He looks the part of a quarterback. Montana State got to him, and looking at the Grizz pass rush the first couple games, I think they're going to get to him too. I just don't think that really Western Illinois has a really great chance of getting their offense going.
Yeah.
Like, I talked to a couple of those guys, the two guys that are doing the Grizz Fan podcast, and one of them's, you know, they're really thinking that Western Illinois is going to win this game. And I don't know if it's reverse psychology or like a reverse jinx or something, but I don't think the Grizz lose this game. I want them to. I'm not lying to you. Like, I will not root for the Grizz ever, but I don't think they lose this game, to be honest with you. And I mean, that's saying something when I just come out and say I think they're going to win.
Yeah, So I think my heart is telling me the Grizz are going to win. They've looked good both weeks. Western Illinois is obviously beatable. And the Grizz defense has been playing awesome. So, like, there's all these things that a lot of the question marks going into the season, like quarterback, coaching, defensive injuries, all those have kind of been answered. So my heart is telling me, like, yeah, we're going to win this game. We should win this game. But the line being, it's either 5 or 5.5, like, that just gets something my brain triggered where it's like people that know more about this are setting the line. So I don't know. My gut is telling me that the Grizz are going to win. My brain is telling
Montana
me
State
that it
was
doesn't
also,
matter that much.
Montana State was +3 against Western Illinois at home and beat them by 3. So that was a difference of 6 points.
Yeah.
So the people that know might not know as much about FCS. I mean, Western Illinois let Troy Anderson run for 145 yards on them, knowing that he couldn't throw the ball.
Yeah,
no, like they had a whole offseason to game plan for a running quarterback. No matter who it was going to be, it was going to be a running quarterback.
Yeah.
And they came into the game knowing it was a linebacker playing quarterback, and the Cats still won. Troy Anderson still went off on the ground. I don't have any faith in Western Illinois to knock off the Grizz, so I'm just calling that one. I think the Grizz are going to win this one.
Okay.
By 10, probably.
Good. I will say...
So there you go.
Yeah, I like it. Thanks, man.
I have to be honest. You know, I want to do a hot take there, but I think they're going to win. So that's Montana State. That's UM coming up this week. It's going to be a fun week of football for sure. But you know what else is fun? Staying at the Hotel Finland in the great city of Butte, Montana. So the Hotel Finland, it's the crown jewel of Uptown in the heart of Montana. It offers luxury options at the same price or cheaper as staying at those boring hotel chains that you find along the interstate. It's locally owned and operated. It's the crown jewel of Uptown, like I said. The Hotel Finland is amazing.
Well, I just don't get it. Why would you stay out by the interstate when you can stay in a nice hotel, a historic hotel, a hotel with a lot of grit and glamour, and be able to walk to the best restaurants in Butte, the most fun bars in Butte. Don't worry about getting in your car after you have a few drinks or trying to find an Uber. You just walk straight to your hotel. Montana Tech's homecoming will be here before you know it. And the Hotel Finland is the best place to stay when you're watching the Ore Diggers. You gotta do the right thing, experience all that Butte has to offer. Get your room today at finland.com. That's F-I-N-L-E-N.com.
So you also have to check out the Cavalier Lounge, which is located in the Hotel Finland. They have awesome music acts that are regularly cycling through the Cavalier Lounge. So come on in and listen and enjoy some of the great Montana beers the Cavalier has on tap. And then we also talked about this thing, but the Cavalier Lounge recently installed the Smooth Hopperator, which is a contraption that infuses your beer with fresh fruit, which Bear Tycoon absolutely loves. It gets your beer to the perfect temperature with the perfect amount of fruit, if you're into that. But the Cavalier Lounge is the only bar in Montana, only bar in the country, that has the Smooth Hopperator there. So you have to go try that.
Yeah, look, you can't get this in Missoula. You can't get this in Billings. You can't get this in New York City. The Smooth Hopperator is only in Butte, Montana. Look, I like ice cream. Ice cream with chocolate syrup on it's a little bit better. I like beer. Beer infused with fresh fruit and ingredient and chilled to the perfect temperature is even better. Most bars have good beer, but the Cavalier Lounge is the only place in the country with this Montana Hopperator. Lastly, and most important, the Montana Mint and this podcast, we only partner with cool Montana brands and companies. Companies like the Hotel Finland are fighting to keep our state great and unique, and they're helping us to keep the lights on. All of us on this podcast and all of you listening, we love Montana. So let's support our Montana brands. Next time you're in Butte, book your room at the Hotel Finland, finlen.com.
All right, so we're going to go right into our resident gambling expert, Montana Parlay. He's going to give you his picks for the week so you can make a little money. So let's kick it over to him.
Welcome to week 3 of the still unsponsored segment of the best picks in the big sky. I'm Montana Parlay. Last week was another 1-1 week as I was correct on the Grizz cover and way off on the Bobcat score. Call it homeritis, as it was obvious early in the game that MSU had no chance against the mighty Jackrabbits. Can an appendix less choked right the ship against Wagner in week 3? On to the picks. Montana State hosts Wagner in a much-needed cupcake match where the Bobcats are 20.5-point favorites. It's a big spread, even for a weaker opponent, considering MSU has all kind of questions at QB. The defense will need to come up big and look for Cats to lean heavy on the run game. Montana State, 34, Wagner, 13, Cats cover by half a point. The Grizz have their first road test of the year and it won't be easy. There will be 5.5-point underdogs at Western Illinois. Western showed flashes of greatness against MSU in the opening game of the season, but will look to play stronger second half at home to thwart the Grizz. This game should come down to the last possession. Western Illinois, 27, Montana, 20. Grizz don't cover for the first time this year. That'll do it for this week's picks. Good luck to all you gamblers out there.
So thank you to Montana Parlay for that. Go find some site that actually lets you bet on FCS and make some money with his advice there. He's still on a hot streak right now. So let's get into a little bit of Around the Big Sky. We're going to keep it short, but it's going to be a fun week. I'll tell you that right now. So we start out, we talked about a little bit, UC Davis at Stanford. I think it's going to be a fun game. UC Davis has already won in the Bay Area. They don't have to travel very far to get to Palo Alto. But they're not going to win.
They're not going to win.
I think we both agree on
and
that.
And it doesn't matter. It shouldn't affect their rankings at all. Stanford's a good team. They this is a money grab. That's fine. I don't fault teams for doing this. But they're
exactly
they're
so. Lose. Yeah, they'll lose. But it should be a fun game. So we have Wagner coming to Montana State. We've already talked about that one. I think we both understand that Montana State's going to win that game, as they should. We then have a battle here between Sacramento State and Northern Colorado in Greeley, which actually could be an interesting game. Northern Colorado has played two decent games this year. Sac State is kind of like that up-and-coming team everybody talks about. So it'll be interesting to see if Sac State's for real or if Northern Colorado can surprise them.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate that Northern Colorado doesn't really have a home field advantage in any way. It's been few interviews we've given from former players, they all name it as the worst place to play in the Big Sky. But just to note, this game will be on Pluto TV, so I probably will be tuning in to watch at least part of it.
It'll be interesting. So this is this next game is one of my favorites. It's going to be Eastern Washington at Pullman. They are separated by like maybe an hour drive, 45-minute drive. If you remember back in 2016, Eastern Washington beat Wazoo 45-42. And I think they're going to do it again. So in that game, Gage Gabrud, our homeboy, mm-hmm. was 34 of 40 for 474 yards and 5 touchdowns. Jesus. Do you remember who his wide receiver was that year?
Cooper Kupp.
12 receptions, 206 yards, and 3 touchdowns. These two went off. So Mike Leach, the head coach of Washington State, was in a press conference this week, and a reporter asked him, is your main game plan going to be controlling Gage Gabrud? To which he replied, who? Then realized who they were talking about, and then said, oh, well, maybe we'll have to see. That right there makes me think Eastern Washington is going to win this game, because that's the ultimate disrespect when you say who when someone asks you about a player that just 2 years ago threw for damn near 500 yards and 5 touchdowns on your team.
Well, it's bad either way for Washington State, right? Like, either he actually forgot who this player is and it's not taking him seriously going into this game, or two, he's like trying to pull a power move on an FCS opponent. Like, that might
it's true.
That might be even more embarrassing. Like,
are you that scared that you just had to do that, or are you really like that forgetful?
Yeah, that is. Either way, that would be embarrassing. So,
I did call it on Twitter though that Eastern's going to win this game.
Yeah, why not?
You heard it here first.
Go to the next game, but I'm looking up the Eastern Washington line against Washington State to see if maybe we can place a bet.
Yep, so the next game is Southern Utah at Arizona, so our third FCS playing an FBS team. So Southern Utah, not great this year right now, 0-2 on the season. They did just lose to Oregon State, so they are just playing these FBS teams one after another. U of A hasn't had a great start to the season, but all indications are that U of A is going to knock Southern Utah out there, so not much to talk about.
Yeah, and we think Southern Utah is going to start out 1-4. This is one of the four losses. Actually, 0-5 because they lost week one. So, not looking good for Southern Utah.
Did you find that line for Eastern and Wazoo?
No, I'm trying to type quietly. give me one more. Go to the next, and I'll tell you.
We're going to the next one, and this one's a doozy. This might be the game of the week, but it's Portland State hosting the College of Idaho. Let's move on to the next one. We'll move on, and we have another FCS-FBS game. Idaho State traveling to Berkeley in the Bay Area, playing Cal.
Okay.
That's a lot of Pac-12 this weekend on the Big Sky roster. So Idaho State going to Cal. They're not going to win.
Why? I mean, Idaho State did have that bye week to prepare, so maybe that.
True.
Maybe
that will. That help. That might help them there. The next game on the docket is going to be Montana at Western Illinois. We've talked about that one. I think Montana's going to win. Your heart says that Montana's going to win, but you think your head is saying Western Illinois.
Yeah. All right. So on the Eastern Washington game, there's no line posted. I don't know if there's an injury with Washington State, but against San Jose State, Washington State was favored by 30.5. I have to figure Eastern's going to get a better line than that, right? Like, they'll probably be, I would guess Washington State is favored by like 15 points.
I was going to say like 17, 18, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's totally right in the realm of possibility that they win.
So that's one, that's like my game of the week that I want to watch. So the next one up is Northern Arizona at Missouri State University in Springfield, Missouri. I literally know nothing about Missouri State University.
Yeah, but I think I'd probably give this my non-Montana game of the week just because I've been so high on Northern Arizona. And assuming that Case Cookus is playing, I just want to see how they bounce back. It's a road game. It's a
Missouri Valley Conference team too, so it's part of that little challenge we have going on with them.
Yeah, and we could watch this one on ESPN Plus because the Missouri Valley Conference
has their shit together. Yeah.
So I will be watching that one. Who do we got?
Okay,
next?
Our final game on there is South Dakota versus Weber. So this is actually number 22 South Dakota, 1-1. Playing number 11 Weber State in Ogden, so that's going to be a really fun game to watch. And Weber only escaped last week against Cal Poly by 7 points, so it'll be interesting to see if Weber's for real. or if, you know, they're kind of riding high from last year's reputation. So that one's going to get my FCS versus FCS game of the week. The one that I'm going to be tuning into on Pluto is going to be South Dakota at Weber.
Nice.
I'm sorry. Yeah, South Dakota at Weber.
Yeah, yeah. And the one game you missed, because it's a Friday night game, but Brown is traveling to Cal Poly.
Brown?
Ivy League school traveling to Cal Poly, so I probably will not be watching that game.
No, I don't care at all about that game.
Yeah, me either, man.
Does not get our game of the week.
Nope.
Sorry, Brown and Cal Poly. I did miss that one. You're right. Brown and Cal Poly. My bad.
That's why we have two of us.
That's why we have two of us, because we're both idiots sometimes. All right, so that's our Around the Big Sky. We got our games of the week. It should be another fun week. A few games that really don't matter at all, like five FCS, FBS games, but the games that are played FCS v FCS are going to be really interesting to watch, and you kind of keep seeing the Big Sky take shape week after week, and it's going to be really interesting getting into conference play next week. So the Big Sky, we're starting to see it. It's exciting. But you know what else is exciting?
What's that?
The Brock Osweiler watch.
Heck yeah, it is.
What do you have for us this week?
And boy, do we have an update. So the Pride of Montana, Brock Osweiler, last we checked in, was on the Miami Dolphins roster fighting against a man named David Fales to be the backup quarterback. Good news for Brock. He was the backup quarterback. There's four quarterbacks on the Miami.
QB2.
There's four quarterbacks on the Miami roster. David Fales, a guy named Luke Falk, and
yeah, he's from Wazoo.
Oh, perfect. So Brock Osweiler beat both them out. They were both inactive. Brock was on the sideline, backing up Ryan Tannehill. Tannehill can go down with an injury at any time. Brock will be there.
He may have already today. We don't know.
Yeah. So there we go, Brock. Way to go. He just keeps hanging around, and we could not be happier.
Make that money. Like, just keep getting that check. Like, Chase Daniels has been a backup his whole career. He's never gotten hurt. Nobody ever makes fun of him, and he's still a millionaire.
Yeah. Yo, Brock has so much money. It's perfect. And the nice thing is, my bright orange Brock Broncos jersey will fit in Miami, because they also have orange in their color scheme.
It's true. It's very true. That's awesome. So that is everything we had this week. Another fun week is coming up in the Big Sky. We do want to shout out, even though they didn't shout us out, we do want to shout out our sister podcast, the Grizz Fans, Grizz Fan Podcast, GFP. Over, you can get it the same place where you get us. You can go on to the Apple iStore. Is it called the Apple Store? Stitcher. Everywhere you get your podcast, you can download the Grizz Fan Podcast with Luke and Mike. We also want to shout out our Montana Middle Podcast, which is the politics podcast. If you're into that kind of thing, you can also find them on the Apple Store, the Android Store, and also Stitcher. So we do want to shout them out. So thank you all for listening. Do you have any closing thoughts going into this weekend, Bear Tycoon?
Just that I will not be watching a second of the Montana State Wagner game.
Well, I am sure that my tweets and my texts will keep you up to date on all the happenings in Bozeman.
Thanks, buddy.
So, yeah, anything for you. So, we're going to call it here. We're going to have Laney Lou and the Bird Dogs play us out. Looking forward to another amazing week of Big Sky football, and we'll see everybody next week. Have a great weekend. I wasn't